Third, burial customs and a way to look at death. Every culture has its own burial customs and its own way of tending to the body of the dead. Some of these different ways of preserving the body include freezing, dehydration, dissection, or mummification. Some bury their dead in the ground, while others cremate them. Still, others practice burial at sea, and some even practice sky burial. The way Buddhists tend to their dead is very similar to some of the above-mentioned practices, with two major distinctions. First, Buddhists favor the practice of not moving the body until 8 hours after death. Second, Buddhists recommend that we not grieve noisily next to the body, lest our cries disturb the dead. Why should we not move the body until 8 hours after death? In fact, there is a scientific basis for this Buddhist custom. After the lungs have stopped breathing and the heart has stopped beating, the nervous system may still continue to function. A person's subconscious may remain slightly aware. Though a person may be clinically dead, he is not yet completely gone. Therefore, when someone passes away, we should not move the person, regardless of whether the person is sitting, lying down, or half reclining on the bed. If we try to move the body, we may be causing discomfort to the deceased, who might become resentful and angry. Since the state of mind of the deceased can influence his or her rebirth, it is recommended that the body not be moved for 8 hours after death. In Buddhist literature, there is a story describing how disturbing the body of the dead can lead to some unintended and sometimes unfortunate consequences. There was once a devout Buddhist king who passed away. The royal family gathered around the body and held vigil. It so happened that a mosquito landed on the king's nose. One member of the royal family tried to shoo the mosquito away, but missed, instead slapping the king. The king was very annoyed, and anger arose within him, causing him to be reborn as a python. There is another reason why we should wait 8 hours before moving the body of the dead. It is possible that a person doing sitting meditation may enter a state of meditative concentration in which the pulse becomes almost undetectable. To those who are unfamiliar with the practice of meditation, the person in meditative concentration may appear to be dead. There is a story of an old monk who entered into meditative concentration during one of his sessions of sitting meditation. When his young disciple felt for his pulse and discovered that he was not breathing, the disciple thought the monk had passed away. Without further ado, the disciple had the body cremated. When the old monk came out of meditative concentration, he could not find his body. From then on, the people in the temple could hear the monk calling out day and night, "Where's my house? Where's my house?" Unnerved by his cries, the people in the temple asked one of the monk's good friends for help. This friend arrived at the temple and sat down quietly. When the old monk came in search of his house, his body, his friend loudly replied, "Just go. Why do you still bother with your house?" When the old monk heard this, he instantly attained enlightenment and never looked for his house again. In the days when there was no accurate way to ascertain if a person had died, this Buddhist custom of not moving the body of the dead for 8 hours was a safeguard against such mistakes. In a book entitled The Truth of Death, there is a chapter about a man who was mistaken for dead. It was once a Chinese custom to collect the bones of the deceased a few years after his or her passing. Many years after this man's death, the family decided it was time to open up the coffin and pack up his bones. When they opened the coffin, they were horrified to find his head turned and his limbs bent in a fetal position. The family inferred that they had mistaken him for dead when he had really just fainted. How horrified he must have been to wake up and find himself in a coffin. Thus, the Buddhist custom of not moving the body of the dead for 8 hours is not without reason. It also gives the family some time to calm themselves and the deceased a moment of peace and quiet. During the 8-hour waiting period, it is best if the family helps the deceased by chanting the name of the Buddha. This way, the deceased can settle his mind on the name of the Buddha as he makes the journey to another rebirth. We should also remember not to cry out loud near the deceased. If we cannot control ourselves and must cry, we should do so away from the deceased. Though the body may be stiff and cold, the consciousness may still be lingering. Our grief can bring much grief to the deceased and hinder them from moving on to another rebirth. Is it actually necessary to grieve over the death of a person? We can think of dying as a vacation and rejoice over the happy and pleasant trip awaiting the deceased. When our loved ones pass away, we can think of them going to the heavenly realm or becoming Buddhas. Dying should be perceived of as a journey to the pure land of ultimate bliss, a land where suffering is nowhere to be found. Is this not wonderful? In Buddhism, we look at death as the beginning of a new life, like a cocoon that transforms into a beautiful butterfly, or a chick breaking out of its shell. Why should those who are alive hold on so tightly and feel such sorrow for those who die? In regards to funeral arrangements, Buddhism encourages cremation. It is both convenient and sanitary, especially in densely populated areas. Unlike burials, cremations do not require much space. They are also relatively inexpensive. I remember an elderly monk once said to me, "After I pass away, please scatter my ashes into the ocean for the fish and shrimp. That way, I can build good affinities with the creatures of the sea." This carefree way of looking at life and death is a stark contrast to the egocentric viewpoint most of us have. Some people are very selfish and greedy. While they are alive, they want to acquire this plot of land or possess that one. Even after they pass away, they still want to compete with the living for the best and most spacious grounds for burial. How ridiculous this is! Some say that Buddhist funerals are dignified, but too simple. How do we show our love for the deceased if we do not conduct an elaborate ceremony or bury the dead at a picturesque site? I guess the answer to this question really depends on one's view of death. If we can truly let go of life and death, we will not be restricted by the social customs dictating what is appropriate for funerals. Chuang Tzu, a famous ancient Chinese philosopher, was someone who did not feel restricted by the social customs of the times. When he was dying, his disciples gathered to discuss his funeral arrangements. Chuang Tzu, who overheard the discussion, laughed and said, "The heavens and the earth are my coffin. The sun and the moon are my treasures. The stars are my gems. And I have the whole world to accompany me. Aren't these enough? Is there anything more grand? The disciples listened in disbelief and answered, We can't do that. If we leave your body out in the open, the crows and eagles will come and peck at your body. It's better if we use a suitable coffin. Shuangzi smiled and said, What difference does it make? If you leave me out in the open, the crows and eagles will come and peck at my body. If you bury me in a coffin, the ants and maggots will still come and feed on my flesh. Why do you rob from the crows just to feed the ants? Why are you so unfair? It is not enough just to have the proper funeral arrangements. We should also have the proper perspective about death. By cutting back on elaborate funeral arrangements and using the money instead for charity, we can allow the deceased to leave some of his compassion behind for the living. If circumstances permit, we should not hesitate to participate in organ donation programs to save the lives of those in need. When we have the right perspective regarding death, we can then handle funeral arrangements with wisdom and in such a way that both the living and the dead benefit. As seen from the above-mentioned Buddhist perspectives on funerals, Buddhists do not perceive death as an annihilation or eternal sleep. Buddhists look at death as moving from one house to another, or from one environment to another. The sutras use various similes to describe death. 1. Death is like another birth. Death is the beginning of another life. It is not the end. The process of death can be likened to the process of making oil from sesame seeds or the creation of butter from milk. 2. Death is like graduation. A person's life can be compared to a student's time spent in school, and death is like the graduation. When we graduate from school, our grades reflect how good a student we have been. Similarly, when we die, the circumstances into which we are reborn are a reflection of the wholesome and unwholesome karma we have accumulated. 3. Death is like moving. When there is birth, there is death. Death is like moving out of an old house and into a newer one. 4. Death is like changing clothes. Death is like taking off old, worn-out clothes and putting on new ones. When we can grasp that all our experiences in life are like floating clouds passing before our very eyes, we will see that the body is nothing more than an article of clothing. 5. Death is renewal. Our body undergoes metabolic processes every second. New cells are created when old ones die. The cycle of birth and death is similar to the process of creating new cells to replace old ones. When we possess the right perspective about death, we will not be fearful of death. What we should be concerned about is not when we shall die, but what follows after we die. While we are alive, most of us can only think about enjoying ourselves and having a good time. We spend our time pursuing fame and fortune without a clear understanding of where we are headed. A life without a clear sense of purpose or direction is meaningless. What are fame and fortune to us when we lay dying on our deathbeds? When we know how to live our lives, then we will know how to handle our deaths. Confucius once said, If one does not understand life, how can one comprehend death? we should not be consumed by our fear of dying. The real tragedy would be if we lived our lives in delusion and ignorance. We may be alive in body, but dead in spirit. The urgent task at hand is for us to see life and death in the context of impermanence, suffering, and emptiness. If we can accomplish this, we will be able to find meaning in life and death.